Welcome back to Your Zest Life. I am your host, Genevieve. I am so happy you are here today, however you found this podcast. Whether it is your first time listening or you are not new to this space, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. How are you? We talked about finding inspiration through overstimulation last week with Lauren Lee from Inner Rebel. And it was interesting because I came off of this weekend. We had Birthday Bash, which we talked a little bit on the last episode. It's 5 years that we just celebrated with Cycle Bar, which is amazing. I've been there since the beginning, since we opened. And just watching the growth of our community and the studio, especially going through a really challenging time as a business, to get to that five-year mark and have this finale ride where we had five of our instructors, including one of our owners, teach up there. And it was just unlike any type of energy I've really seen. And that says a lot because we've had some incredible rides in that space. And so you have that night where we have a ride at 8:15, which is, I know you're probably saying this too, way past my bedtime, or at least when I'm getting in bed. And I had also opened up that morning and rode. So just a long day. And then came off of that and had Dylan Francis the next night where we got all decked out. I feel like because when I was in college, I was on a really, really strict schedule. So I didn't really get to do the whole like going out to concerts or going to festivals. And I feel like now in my early 30s, I'm reliving this the way that kind of you do in college. And so we all chose a different color and I was holographic. So I had these like sparkly sequin shorts and a holographic bodysuit, and I got a silver white wig. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun. And just being, you know, again, able to like be out with your friends in this way that we weren't really able to last year. All the energy you've got with that, loud music, coming off a birthday bash. And then the next day, Halloween weekend, we dressed up, my husband and I, as Disney villains. We love Halloween. Usually we throw a Halloween party. And this year we didn't, which was probably a good thing. And our friends threw one instead, and they did a phenomenal job. And by the time we got there, I don't know who we thought we were this weekend. I was out until like midnight on Friday. And Saturday, we didn't even leave our house till 8:30 p.m., which is very unlike us. And didn't get to this place till 9 o'clock. We're there until almost like 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't know who we think we are or what we think our sleep capacity is, but I finally showed up Sunday morning and I was really excited to teach my Halloween ride. I had all these like eerie mashups of like the It soundtrack and Freddie and Jason. And I showed up and like, I am overstimulated in my Maleficent costume getting ready to do this EDM Halloween ride. So kind of ironic because we just recorded that podcast about how to avoid being overstimulated. And while during that weekend, so today what we're going to be talking about is finding our self-worth. And a lot of that is taking care of ourselves. And so a lot of the things that I did this weekend, I would say were part of my self-care. You know, seeing friends. Luke and I had a day to ourselves on Sunday where we went for a walk through Harrison Boulevard and, you know, enjoyed the fall leaves and had breakfast together and just had a really relaxing day. I got to see some of my favorite people who really recharge me. Cycle Bar also is something. Getting to teach classes, getting to ride with my team is a way that refuels me. But, you know, you can have too much of something as well. And so this week I was talking to Shelby, who was on the podcast earlier this year. And we were talking about, she was the one person who said no on Saturday that she was going to stay home. And she was totally recharged for this week, ready to go. And we were talking about the importance of taking care of ourselves, the importance of wellness, and really prioritizing this in our lives. And so it inspired us to brainstorm this idea of a wellness challenge that we're doing with our team and something that I'm going to be incorporating in my corporate wellness as well. And it just made me think more about the importance of investing in our self-worth. So how do we invest in our self-worth? And what are the different ways that this shows up in our life? So before we get started, I want to think about what self-worth is. So our self-worth is basically how we view ourselves, right? what our self-esteem is and why it's important is that really it influences how we show up in our lives. It influences our decisions, our choices, our actions. And while this is something that is crucial, I was thinking about self-care and self-worth. So it's kind of like, does the chicken come before the hen, or does the hen come before the, or the egg come before the chicken, or the chicken come before the egg? So do we have to implement self-care, so taking care of ourselves, before we have self-worth? So before we value who we are? Or do we have to value who we are before we take care of ourselves? And I want to give you time to think about that first, because I thought about this. And personally, I think that we have to make the decision that we value ourselves first. And then we show through our actions that we're going to invest in ourselves. So you have to value yourself. You have to say, you know what, I am worthy of taking care of myself before you actually take care of yourself. So you can't just think like, oh, it's, you know, my self-worth will come, you know, if I take care of myself. Because what will happen over time is that taking care of ourselves will not become the priority if we do not value ourselves. And now I'm not saying that self-care can't enhance our self-worth. So let's break this down into something that's a little bit easier to think about, because self-care, self-worth, I think some people might have the two together and say, well, the two are interchangeable. But think of your self-worth as a savings account, right? And everything I'm about to give you on the podcast today would be an example of an investment or something that you put into your savings account that over time will grow in appreciation. Does that make more sense? So how do we invest in our self-worth? The three that I want to talk about today is, one, we invest in our self-worth by how we show up for ourselves. And I would argue that this is our number one priority, right? This lays the foundation for everything else. Our second one is how we allow others to treat us. And then the third one is how we operate in our businesses and careers. And this is going to go as far as whether you own your own business or you work for someone else. I think that you'll find these tips incredibly beneficial. And then while you're listening to this podcast, I encourage you to think of other ways too that you can invest in your own self-worth and share them with me. What I'm giving you now are not the only ways, and I'm sure that there are numerous other ways of showing our own self-worth, but these are the three that I wanted to highlight today. So the number one being how we show up for ourselves. Like I said, I think that this is really the most important of the three, and it's the premises for the other two that we'll talk about later today. And when I think about showing up, I think about, how am I taking care of myself? So the first one of this being starting with self-care. So when we practice routine self-care, so not just waiting until we're hitting burnout, not waiting until, you know, we're a stress case, but you are implementing regularly scheduled, if you need to, schedule it, self-care, because this will help to reduce or eliminate your anxiety, your depression. It also reduces our stress, frustration, our anger, and also helps to improve our concentration and energy, as well as increasing our happiness. So all things that we're looking to do in our lives. I asked my team over at CycleBar, as we're getting ready for this wellness challenge, how they implement self-care. And a lot of them said, you know, going for walks, walking their dogs, spending time with their family, going to the movies, meditation, reading a book. I think one of our team members said that he sets aside time to work on his own projects. And that to him is self-care. And that's something that we'll bring up later, because I thought that was a really unique form of self-care. So for me, I think self-care as, you know, a lot of what we already talked about, meditation, taking my dogs out as well. I'm doing a puzzle, you know, going to get a pedicure, getting a massage. But there's different ways of self-care. And so I wouldn't limit you to just what we talk about here, but think about, what are things that recharge you? Ultimately, that's what self-care is. Taking care of yourself so that you can continue to show up your best in your day-to-day life. I think self-care is also how you take care of yourself as far as nutrition. So what kind of food are you fueling yourself with? Are you staying hydrated? Are you scheduling downtime? And do you know how to refuel yourself? So there's personality tests out there that will tell you, you know, are you an introvert, extrovert? Are you someone who recharges by being around people or being by yourself? And through my research and from what I know of working with others, I think that everyone, no matter how introverted or extroverted they are, needs to have alone time or quiet time, right? We can't always be overstimulated around others. I think other ways that you can do this are following through on your commitments, especially to yourself. So when you tell yourself you're going to do something, and I would encourage you, there's a fine line here, right, between making a commitment and then stressing ourselves out that we have to get this done in order to feel valued. We are living in a society, again, where we're very ambitious and we have a lot of resources accessible. Again, this is a repetition from last week's episode. But because of that, because we're constantly seeing what other people are doing and we have these huge visions, which is amazing, right? Our limitations are smaller than before, I would argue, because we have these ideas that are even on a larger scale, which can be overwhelming. So practicing grace on these commitments, but at the same time, prioritizing it, right? So if you say, my goal is I'm going to exercise 3 days a week, 4 days a week, 30 minutes a day, and something continues to come up, whether it's a work meeting, whether it's a friend who wants you to go to happy hour, and you start to continue to put that on the back burner, like where does that show the value in yourself? So that's the kind of commitment I'm talking about, is that if you're making a commitment to do something that is going to enhance your quality of life and it really, really adds the value of you and your lifestyle, that's the kind of commitment I'm going to encourage you to follow through on. Another way to show value for how you show up to yourself is write yourself a gratitude note. I think thank you notes are incredibly powerful. My mom actually gave me a box of 52 thank you notes for Christmas this last year. And I'll be honest, I have not been as good as I would like to, but that's where I'm practicing grace at writing one of those weekly. But there have been a couple times where I have wrote one to myself, you know, just like you would want to thank someone else for their time, to thank someone else for their efforts. Gratitude enhances our day-to-day lives. Gratitude makes us feel more grateful for what we have. It allows us to be more present. And so taking time to write yourself that thank you note. Several podcasts back when we were talking about birthdays, I also talked about how every year I try to write myself a birthday note for the next year, which is kind of a cool way to set up the next year and set some intentions. The other one that I really enjoyed was stop trying to fit in, right? Stop trying to fit in and to be this normal, I guess, or what is normal, but this idea of what you think society thinks you should be. I was talking to my husband the other day about how much, and I think I've talked about it here, so if I sound like a broken record, but that I really am loving the fashion lately because it allows people to be self-expressive of who they are. And that's huge for you to feel like you can fully take up space and you don't have to minimize who you are, right? Make yourself small. If that means that, you know, you're wearing loud colors, or if that means, honestly, if you feel more comfortable in black and that's what makes you feel good, not allowing someone to make you feel less because of what you wear. I think fashion's such a, you know, it took me a while to really understand this because I was someone before where living in New York too, when they would have fashion week, sometimes I would look at this fashion like, what? Like, how is someone, that's like a bag. I actually, no joke, I wore a potato sack one time. And it was when I was Miss Idaho and we were working with the Idaho Potato Commission. And it was this vintage potato sack and we bedazzled it and it was so cool. And it was a representation of the outfit that Marilyn Monroe wore when they were saying that, you know, she was so beautiful, she could even look great in a potato sack. And I was thinking about this, and to this day, it's one of my favorite outfits that I wore because it was so different, so unique, and so memorable. And this year, I've really gotten appreciation for self-expression through fashion. I'm really excited, on a side note, I have this project I'm working on, and this is one of my commitments to myself. I've been really working on getting things clean and organized in our house because I'm trying to set up my office space so I can really build my business and be really inspired to build my business. And for me, that means I need to have a fresh space. And part of that is my office right now is essentially another storage room. And a lot of what's in there are old clothes or clothes that just I no longer wear. And I told myself, okay, if I can do my closet clean out sale, I bought these gorgeous, sparkly, like rhinestone-y or sequin-y sneakers. And they're just super fun. And I thought, how cool would that be to get to wear those when I'm going to speaking and public engagement. So that's a side note, but an example of, you know, showing up through our commitments to ourselves and also just inviting ourselves, welcoming ourselves to show up as we are. So let's look at the second area then of showing up for ourselves. And I would qualify this as the structure of your day. So I'm going to ask you right now to think about what's the first thing you do upon waking up. A lot of us, I know myself included, this is a habit I've been working really hard to break. We grab our phones immediately. We grab our phones. We're checking what the news, which lately, I don't know about you, the news stresses me out. We're maybe checking our emails, again, high stress case, or we're checking social media. And oftentimes what happens on social media? I mean, maybe you're finding, I don't know, a funny video of like a puppy doing something. If you're on my social media account, there's all sorts of golden retriever videos and just weird, bizarre, like nonsensical videos. But also you're seeing, right, the highlight reel. This is not something that is a new concept. This highlight reel of other people's lives. And so right off the bat, you're starting off, you're stressing out your parasympathetic system. You're putting yourself on high alert. And you're starting to think more negatively on your life. Well, why am I not traveling? Why am I not having as much fun as them? Well, it's because you just woke up out of bed, right? So giving yourself that opportunity, the first thing when you wake up, taking a few full breaths, you know, allowing yourself time to wake up, not being rushed. Maybe there's meditation involved. Maybe you allow yourself to sit down, read a book. I think creating time for reflection and time to pause and just be with yourself are key to setting up your self-worth for the day. Things like setting affirmations, setting goals and intentions, and then taking note of how you set up the rest of your day. So, how are you spending your time? Is there joy in your day-to-day routine and lifestyle? Not just on the weekends, but every single day. We talk about this. I'd encourage you to go back if you haven't listened already to Avoiding the Sunday Scaries, Creating a Productive Work-Life Balance. And how do we create joy, right? You're not just waiting for joy. You're not just wishing for joy, but you are actively creating joy in your day-to-day life. And that's part of self-value, you know, thinking about what are the things that bring me joy? What are the things that bring me peace? This is your life that you get to take ownership of. And are you committed to these things, right? This goes back to making a commitment to yourself and following through. So if that means that you need to move your body for 30 minutes a day, which I would highly encourage you, if you aren't moving your body daily, find something. It does not need to be a strenuous workout. You do not need to be sweating. You know, go outside and walk. Do some yoga. Do something that you enjoy. If you feel like you're forced, by the way, to do your movement, I would encourage you, find something that gets you excited. You don't need to go to the gym to get your movement in. But are you committed then to something that decreases your stress? So something that I'm focused on is, especially as we get into these winter months, is really making it a priority to get outside. Because I know that when I get outside, I'm in nature, I show up better in my day-to-day life for myself, which allows me to show up better in my job, show up better in my relationships. And it also makes me really more committed to the goals that I set for myself. I've really worked to make Fridays a half day for me so that I have time to get things done that are just for me. They're not related to Womeness, not related to Cycle Bar, right? They're not related to health coaching. They're things that allow me to get my office cleaned up so that I can create a space that allows me to be more productive and really make the most of my time. So I encourage you to look at your schedule and see where your time management is. I think the two things that are the most helpful with creating a structure and being mindful of how you're spending your time is time management and setting boundaries. Setting boundaries is huge. I would say it's one of the most crucial parts of self-worth that also falls up for, or that also falls under not only how we show up for ourselves, but also how we allow others to treat us. And that's the second thing we're going to be talking about today. So how we allow others to treat us. When I looked at exactly what self-worth actually means, I found this definition and this really resonated with me. And that it's an individual's subjective evaluation of their own worth. It is their self-esteem, which encompasses our beliefs about oneself. So it's how we view ourselves, right? And whatever we believe about ourselves to be true is really an open invitation to welcome others to treat us that way. So if we believe that we are not worthy of others' respect, we might find that other people's actions reflect that. I don't know if you've ever been in a relationship where you feel like you're not being respected, but I know that one of my first serious relationships, I was in a relationship where he was not a respectful individual and where I allowed him to continue to treat me with a lack of respect for numerous years. And thinking back to that now, even though it would have been incredibly challenging to stand up for myself, I would have saved myself so much time of, I don't know, even just like wallowing in my own sorrow, of causing detrimental damage to some of my relationships, including relationships with my family. I think that I would have been showing up better in school. I would have been happier. And so this is really huge to identify, right? That's why our self-care and our own self-value, how we're showing up for ourselves, is so important because it sets an example for how others are going to treat us. I think that the biggest thing here then is to speak our minds. You know, this is interesting because it's been, 10, 12 years since that relationship. And I recently had what could have been a difficult conversation with a friend where we voiced what our priorities were in a friendship, and we had felt like we weren't quite getting that and how we wanted to be treated. And because we were both respectful of the environment we were in and we were each able to share our side of the story, we were able to leave in a way that was productive to the mission of the conversation, which was ultimately we wanted to prioritize each other, right? We wanted the same thing, but by treating each other with respect, we were able to create a space where both individuals felt valued. And I think a simple way to break this down is that energy out equals energy in. So what you get out is likely what you're going to receive in. And this would go to the golden rule, honestly, right? So treat others how you want to be treated. And this means not just, I think the way that we tend to think of this is be kind to others because we want them to be kind to us. You know, but treating others with respect then welcomes them to treat us with respect. And if we've already laid out the groundwork of treating ourselves with respect, you know, it's a full circle right there. So let's go to boundaries, because I think that that was the one thing that set us up for this conversation as far as showing others or how we allow others to treat us. With boundaries with other individuals, I think an important thing is to recognize we're the ones setting the boundaries, right? We're not allowing others to set the boundaries for us. And boundaries means we get to choose what we say yes to and what we say no to. So an example of this is I've been working on setting very clearly defined timeframes where I'll answer emails, where I'll respond to phone calls. And my team knows this. Both my WomenS team, my CycleBar team knows this. And so they feel respected because they know if they respond between these certain hours that I have a 24-hour turnaround time. And I feel respected because it's been communicated that if, you know, if there's an email on the weekend and I don't respond, I'm not going to get inundated now with texts or Slack threads to be like, why are you not responding? Are you upset? Are you angry? You know, I think open communication is really important in setting those boundaries. Again, going back to last week's episode of finding inspiration in a world of overstimulation, being really cognitive of what our stimulants are. So I was, and this goes to setting these boundaries, because one way that I found, and I don't know if this will work for you, I was talking to another friend where I'll set my phone on do not disturb. And this is just nice for me to set boundaries, because even though I'll tell people not to message me or that these aren't my hours, my working hours, I've found that it takes a lot of self-control. And so if I put do not disturb on, then it just makes it a lot easier for me to follow through on those boundaries on days where I might be struggling. However, I had a friend who said she went a full day, had her phone on do not disturb. And the next day she's like, I had missed like 18 different phone calls, all these different texts. I was wondering why no one was messaging me back. So being mindful of that. But I was listening to this video of by a gentleman by the name of Daniel Vitalis. And he's known as a modern day hunter gatherer. And he's also the host of the Wild Fed TV show. And in this video, he was talking about our connection to the earth and how we have essentially become these domesticated beings and lost touch with this wild side. And he gave several examples of how to connect with our wild ancestry, you know, how to connect to our roots and connect to the earth. And one of these that really stood out to me was setting our phone into airplane mode at night. And the reasoning behind this, you know, not just turning your phone or putting your phone off to the side, but putting it on airplane mode, because it starts to create distance between ourselves and the outside world. It creates this kind of like sanctuary space for ourselves. And I thought that was kind of cool, because we are in a day where we're always expected to be on. And so turning that onto airplane mode just gives that boundary, right? It gives that space and time for us to really fully rest and recharge at night. Going off of boundaries, what this might mean is that you might have to have those difficult conversations. You know, this can relate to a relationship with a friend, a coworker, maybe you're in a romantic relationship where you need to set these boundaries. And I would encourage you that if someone isn't treating you the way that you would like to and it's impacting you, talk to them, right? It goes with that saying, if you see something, say something. A big way that I see this coming up is with the holidays. Right, so when you're at holiday gatherings, if people are talking about politics, or you have a family that maybe is critical of your decisions, your career, your relationship status. I know with my field in health coaching, lots of times when people are making changes in their nutrition, but their family either maybe doesn't necessarily support their lifestyle, but maybe their family is a little insecure in their own eating behaviors. What this can do is the person who's making all these healthy decisions, right? Their family might be critical, or their friends might be critical. Like, oh, you're having dessert, or, oh, wow, are you sure you should be eating that? I thought you were, you know, on a diet. And this is a conversation that, you know, we talk about, or what I talk about with my clients, and just saying, hey, just, you know, taking ownership of who you are and just kindly asking them, you know, like, this decision does not affect you. And, you know, you're not asking them to make you a special meal. If anything, you're bringing your own food there. But just having a respectful conversation with them that, hey, this affects me when you talk to me that way. And again, going back to that conversation I had with a friend, by going into the conversation with mutual respect, laying out that foundation, you can have a conversation where you're going to have a productive outcome, where both sides of the parties will ideally feel respected at the end of it and be able to part in their ways that will support, you know, whatever their goals were going into the conversation. So the last part of this, how we operate our businesses and careers. I think a lot of what we've already discussed would apply here as well, because really in our careers, there's a lot of relationships involved, whether it's a relationship with a client, a relationship with a coworker, a relationship with your boss. But some of these will be more specific to operating a business. And I also want to preface it by saying some of these may be easier or more difficult if you are running your own business or you're working for someone else. But I think that right now, a lot of employers, more so than ever, are more focused on employees' happiness and wellness, right? They know that a happy and healthy employee is likely to stay around longer than an unhappy and unhealthy employee. And this, over time, saves them money as well as time. Honestly, it's a very financially intelligent priority for any business owner or manager. So the first one of these, again, going back to boundaries, and I think that you could go back and re-listen to some of the tips we've already given on boundaries, but a big one of these is not answering emails until a certain time of day and then creating an end of office hours. And here's the important part, actually sticking to it, right? We demonstrate how we want to be treated by the commitments that we follow through on. So if you say my office hours are from 9 to 5 or my office hours are from 10 to 5, but you're emailing people at 7 p.m., it doesn't put a lot of value in your word, and so people aren't going to take you seriously. So making that commitment to yourself, following through, establishing what your morning routine and systems are, right? So thinking about what do you need to do to show up the best? This is part of your boundaries. Identifying what do I need? So if I were to look at me, I know that I need meditation, I need time for reflection, I need to move my body, and I need just some quiet time to myself. That allows me to show up my best. And those are the boundaries that I set, right? This can be challenging whether you're a business owner or you work for someone else, right? If you own your own business, it can be challenging because you're really just holding yourself accountable to these hours. If you are working for somebody else, not only are you holding yourself accountable to these hours, but it might mean that you have to have a conversation with your boss. And in this case, I would encourage you to have the conversation, right? Your boss only knows what they know. So if you're unhappy, if you feel overworked, if you feel burnt out, but your boss doesn't know, you can't expect for them to just be able to read your mind or just be able to read off of your energy that you're feeling burnt out. So I would encourage you to talk to your boss. Again, they want to have a happy and a healthy employee. The other tip that I would give to you then is to write this down in your email signature. I've known friends who own their own businesses where they say, I only respond to emails on Tuesdays and Thursdays from these hours. Anything outside of those hours, I will get back to you on my next business day. And it sets a really clear expectation of when someone else is going to hear from you. And there's not this like confusing in between of, okay, I emailed them a week ago, why have I not heard back yet? And then the second part of this is valuing your time and knowledge. This will probably, parts of this would definitely fall under if you're working for someone else. But I think a lot of this, actually no, I would say that a lot of this would go under if you're working for someone else. This would fall under when you're ready to ask for a raise. When you feel like your time and your knowledge is worthy of being paid more, go up and talk to your boss. Again, being someone who now manages multiple groups and teams, I really try to stay engaged and connected to my team members. But you have to think that your boss or your manager, they also have a life outside of their work. So they're working on their own relationships outside of work. They're working on their own self-value. And even if you have the best boss in the world, they only know so much about you. And if you're not communicating what your needs are, you can't expect for them to know. So if you're at a point in your career where you're questioning if you should be making more, have the conversation. Worst thing they do is say no, right? And then you ask for feedback. Well, what could I be doing that would qualify me to be able to ask for this raise? As far as for someone who owns their own business, I would really encourage you to look at the value of your services and think to yourself, if you were the consumer, would this price point make you value the product? Right? So if you don't value your services, this is reflected in your pricing, and your consumer and clients will see this. So when I'm pricing my services, something that a few things that I consider are the trainings and certifications that I've had to go through to provide these services, the cost of and time of continuing education, cost of operations, right? So if you have programs that help you with your email list, if you've got programs that help you with your social media design and setup, If you have someone who you're paying to be your assistant, also the time that I'm investing in my clients, not only during meetings, but the time outside of our meetings. So the follow-up emails that I'm sending them, the resources that I'm working on putting together for them, all of that time, it's not just the 1 hour or the couple hours that you spend with them, it's everything outside of that. And when you put that into the value of your time, and you can even explain to someone who's a new client or to your client, hey, here's everything that comes with your service, here's my background, and it makes them feel better about, honestly, it makes them feel better about spending the money because they really feel like there's a lot of value that they're going to get out of it. Okay, the last part that's going to fall under how we operate our businesses and careers is by doing something you enjoy, right? Yes, you have to make a living. And yes, I know that maybe we don't all have the luxury in this exact moment to be doing the dream job, but also at the same time, we have an abundance of resources out there. We are gifted in the age of the internet, in the age to be able to connect with anybody in the world. And so if you are not enjoying what you're doing daily, if you are not finding joy in your day-to-day life, I would encourage you to take ownership and to find what you are passionate about. This is something that I do as a health coach. I don't just coach people on their nutrition and their exercise. I coach them on their areas in their relationships, on their spirituality, so their connection with their self, and also in their careers. I help guide individuals to create a vision of, you know, what is your dream life look like? What does your best or your zest life look like? And how can we help you to create a roadmap to get there? And if that means we need to change your career, then let's identify what your dream career looks like and how we can make this a reality. So that was a lot. And I really want to end this by going back to one of the first things we talked about, which is grace, right? All of these actions are an investment in your self-worth. And some may take quite a long time or quite a while to implement and figure out what works best for you. So don't feel like you have to do all of these at once. Maybe today you just choose two things. Just choose two things and see how you can implement them. I hope that today's conversation encourages you to take a look at your own self-worth and areas where you can invest in your day-to-day life. And if you thought of additional ways that you can invest in your self-worth, please let me know by sharing in your stories or sending me an email. I always love hearing from you, by the way, whether it's you tagging in your stories. This also helps others to find the podcast. So if you think that this episode would be beneficial, I encourage you, add it to your stories, send it to your friend. I enjoy doing these with you, and I'm looking forward to what lies ahead for us. So as always, thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your week. Bye, Life Zesters. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode brought some zest into your life. And if you think this podcast will bring value to someone else, please feel free to share. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. You can also find more insight on my Instagram at Genevieve_Nuttinghaworth and click the link in this episode's description where you can find my website. All right, I can't wait to rally with you next week.